Maralef at the top of the page of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Ha'omer pitisi es bito shel ploni, mishalim boshes ufegam al piatzmo, ve'ein mishalim kenas. A person admits that he seduced Reuven's daughter, so the halacha is he has to pay the boshes and pegam, right, the shame and the tarnishment of the family, but he does not pay the kenas. Ha'omer ganavti, mishalim es sakeren al piatzmo, ve'ein mishalim tashlume kefal v'sashlume arbav achamisha. If a person admits that he stole, so obviously he has to pay back the person the value of the item that he stole, but he does not have to pay the additional, you know, kefel or dalad vehe in a case where he slaughtered or sold the animal. Those additional kenasos he does not pay when he admits that he stole. Hamis shori es ploni o shoro shel ploni hareza mishalim al piatzmo. If a person admits that his ox killed a person or killed another person's ox, then he has to compensate, he has to pay for that. Hamis shori avdo shel ploni in mishalim al piatzmo. However, if he admits that his ox gored and killed Reuven's eved, then he does not have to pay, because the idea of paying the 30 shekel for goring and killing an eved is only a kenas. So what's the bottom line of this Mishnah? Says the Mishnah, Zeha klal kol ha-mishalim yeser al-mashihizik eno mishalim al-piatzmo. Anyone who has to pay more than the actual value of the damages does not pay when they admit. Or put it another way, modi b'kenas pater. Whenever a person admits to owing a kenas, to owing a penalty, which is above and beyond the actual damage they inflicted, then they do not pay when they admit to it. They only have to pay the base value of the damage that they inflicted. Okay, so the Gemara then asks, the list neonasti, why does the Mishnah in the first case talk about seduction? Why didn't it talk about a case of rape? Meaning, presumably, the same halachas would apply by rape. If a person admitted that he raped someone's daughter, he would presumably only have to pay for the boshes and pegam and not for the value of the kenas. So the Gemara says, no, lo mi baya kamer, lo mi baya anasti, de lo kapagimla, de mishalim boshes ufagam al piatzmo, avo ptc de kapagimla, ema lo mishalim al piatzmo, kamash malan. The Gemara says that the case of anasti, of rape, is obvious, because if a person admits that he raped someone's daughter, then he certainly is going to pay boshes and pegam, and obviously he's going to be putter from paying the kenas. Why then did the Mishnah choose to talk about a case of seduction as opposed to rape? So the Gemara explains, the reason is because one might have thought that if, let's say, a person comes and admits that he seduced Reuven's daughter, maybe he's not believed to say that, because what he's effectively saying is that he's tarnishing his family's name, right? In other words, it's not considered to be a tarnishment on the family if a girl gets raped, but it is a tarnishment if the girl gets seduced. So maybe we could argue that we don't believe this guy to say that that Reuven's daughter gave in to his to his advances. So no, kamash malan, that we do believe him, and therefore he is going to have to pay the value of boshes pagam. However, the Gemara points out, masnisin deloki haitana desanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon av boshes ufegam eno mishalim apiatzmo lo kol heimenu sheyifkom bito shel ploni. Comes Rabbi Shimon and disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not true that we actually do not believe this person when he comes and says that that I seduced Reuven's daughter. We actually don't believe him, because again, he's not believed to tarnish Reuven's family's name. Okay, and the Gemara says, Amar lei Rav Papa li Abai, nechala lidi damai. What if it's okay with her? Meaning, again, the Gemara is assuming that, you know, because we're tarnishing the family name, therefore he's not believed, at least according to Rav Shimon. But the question is, what if the girl's okay with it because she wants the money for the boshes, the pagam, or the kenas? So what if she says, you know what, I'm willing to accept the tarnishment of my family in exchange for the money? So the Gemara says, no, but dumalo nechala li avia. Just because she's okay with it, you know, perhaps her father's not okay with it. So again, we're not going to believe him because it's still going to tarnish the family name, even if she doesn't care about it. Presumably her father does. And the Gemara says, okay, nechale li aviyam. What if the father's also okay with it? The Gemara says, no, dilma lo nechalehu levnei mishpacha. Maybe the rest of the family is not okay with the tarnishment of the family name. Nechalehu levnei mishpacha. Mai, efshar deleka chad b'medina sayam dela nechale. Basically, the Gemara says that there's got to be one guy out there, one far-flung relative who lives somewhere, who's not going to be okay with having his family name tarnished. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon, we're never going to believe this person if he claims that he seduced Reuven's daughter to now make him pay boshes and pagam, because basically someone out there is going to have their family name tarnished. Okay, then the Mishnah.
But I thought, yeah, a guy can't testify against himself.
Testifying is different. Here, in other words, here he's basically just admitting that he owes something. Now, again, this is a very complicated question in the Achronim about whether we fundamentally believe him or whether we just assume that because he implicated himself, now he basically has to be the same way. Let's say I admit that I broke your window. So the question is, do we really believe that I broke your window? Or no, you're just admitting to it, so you have to pay anyway. That's a very complicated question. But, you know, but the bottom line is that in other words, the issue at hand here is when the guy admits that he seduced someone's daughter, is that just a statement in a vacuum that we believe him, he pays boshes pagam, or no, because that statement has ramifications for the rest of the, you know, tarnishment of the family. So that's really the machlokas here in the Gemara. Okay, so fine. So then the Mishnah said, Ha'omer ganafti mishalem esakeret. Itmar. Palga niska, Rav Papa amar palga niska mamona, Rav Huda bereidu Rav Yehoshua amar palga niska kenasa. The Gemara quotes a very famous machlokes that appears in Masechet Bava Kama regarding what's called chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek means if I have what's called a short tam, an ox that has not yet gored three times, it's not considered to be a habitual gorer. It's very out of the ordinary for this ox to gore. So the halacha is that if the ox does in fact gore and it damages, so the halacha is you only pay chatzi nezek. That's a special din by a short time. You only pay half the value of the damage. So the question is, what's the status of that payment? That chatzi nezek, is that considered to be a mamon type of a payment, or is it fundamentally a kenas? So the Gemara explains. Rav Papa Amar Palganizka Mamona, Kasavar Stam Shvarim Lav Vecheska Shimur Kaime, Uvedinu Demishalim Kule, Verachamanahu Dechayis Ilave, Da Akati Lo Yai Torah, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehoshua Amar Palganizka Kenasa, Kasavar Stam Shvarim Vecheska Shimur Kaime, Uvedinu Deloli Shalim Klal, Verachamanahu Dekansi Kihichi Deninter. Sorry, Machlokas is basically like this. If you think that Chatzi Nezek is basically Mamon, so what that means is that really fundamentally, the Torah should have slapped you with a full fine. You should have also had to pay Nezek Shalem even by a short time. But basically, the Torah is cutting you a break. The Torah says, you know what? Because this ox hasn't gored so much, it's not a habitual gore, we're gonna cut you some slack, we're only going to make you pay half. On the other hand, if you think that Chatzi Nezek is a kenas, then basically, you shouldn't have to pay anything at all, and the Torah is penalizing you and saying, because you should have been more careful to guard this ox, to protect the ox, we're going to slap you with a fine. But basically, the starting point is zero, and now the Torah is telling you a chiddush, and then now you have to pay half. Okay, so then the Gemara says Tanan Hanizak v'Hamazik v'Sashlumin. There's a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Bava Kama that says that the Nizak and the Mazik, let's say in the case where the ox gored, both share in the payment. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam alamanda amar palga nizka mamona, hainu deshaich nizak bisashlumin, el alamanda amar palga nizka kenasa, hashta deladi deka shakil, bisashlumin isay. The Gemara says like this, I understand that language in the Mishnah above a comma that says that both the Nizak and the Mazik participate in the payment. That makes a lot of sense if you think that Chatzi Nezek is mamon, because again, what you're basically arguing is that really you should have had to pay full, but the Torah is cutting you some slack. Which is basically another way of saying that both participants are somewhat involved in the monetary transaction, right? Because the Mazik has to pay his share, and the Nizak is kind of getting this deduction where he really should have gotten all, but the Torah was having Rachmanis on the Mazik. But if you believe that Chatzi Nezek is basically Kenas, then how is it, in other words, then how does it make sense for the Mishnah above a comma to say that the Nizak and the Mazik both participate in the payment? It's not true, because fundamentally there shouldn't have been any payment at all, right? It's basically a penalty that we're slapping on the Mazik that he has to pay half, but the Nizak's not involved in this. The Nizak basically doesn't deserve anything according to that opinion in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you're right.
So
yeah. What was that?
He has to eat half of the animal.
Say again?
It's costed him half of the animal.
That may be true, but again, if you think that Chatzi Nezek is Kenas, what that basically means is that he doesn't owe, in other words, he's not owed anything at all, right? Because it's such an aberration that your short time Gordon killed the animal, that basically he's not Chayiv, it's just a special Kenas that we're slapping on the Mazik. If that's the case, then it's not really accurate for the Mishnah to say that the Nizak is also part of the transaction. So the Gemara says, you're right, Lo Nitzricha El Lefchas Nevela, that formulation in the Mishnah above a comma that includes the Nizak as part of the transaction is referring to a very limited type of a monetary decrease known as Pchas Nevela. Pchas Nevela just means the value that the carcass decreases. Now, in theory, a dead carcass of an animal is worth something. It's not worth a lot, because if you didn't shecht it properly, obviously you can't eat it, but you could maybe feed it to your dogs or something like that. So it has minimal value, but again, the carcass is obviously going to, you know, deteriorate and decrease over time. So the Gemara says that Lashon in the Mishnah that says that the Nizak is part of the transaction is only referring to the decrease or the deflation in value of the carcass of the dead animal. So the Gemara then asks, "Pchas Nevela Tanina Tashlumi Nezek Melamisha Bailam Etaplin Ben Nevela." But we already know that there's already an explicit Mishnah above a comma that says that the idea of payment regarding the damages refers to the fact that the owner or the Nizak, the one whose animal was killed, he's the one who's now responsible to deal with this carcass. So, what's our Mishnah coming to innovate here that we didn't already know? So the Gemara says, you're right. Chad besam vechad b'muad utzricha di'iash mu'inan tam mishum da'akati lo iayid avol muad di'iayid emalo di'iash mu'inan muad mishum da'kamishalim kule avol tam emalo utzricha. The Gemara says that we actually needed both of these Mishnayos above a comma, one to teach me the halacha of Pchas Nevela, of the deflation in value of the carcass regarding a Shor Tam, and one regarding a Shor Mu'ad. Why, in other words, why do I need both? So the Gemara explains that one could have argued that at least by a Shor Tam, the animal is not a habitual gore. It's not a Shor Mu'ad yet, so one could have argued that maybe the Nizak is not responsible for the deterioration in value of the carcass. Maybe that's on the Mazik. On the other hand, one could have argued that when it comes to a Shor Mu'ad, the Mazik is paying the full value of the damages. So it maybe one could have argued that, you know, in that case, so there we'll cut the break, you know, in other words, we'll make the Nizak responsible to pay the value of the deterioration, but by a Shor Tam, where the Mazik's only paying half, so maybe we'll throw the Pchas Nevela, the value of the carcass deteriorating, onto the Mazik. So the Gemara says, no, Kamash Balon, you see from these two Mishnayos in Bava Kama, that in all cases, the value of the deterioration of the carcass is always on the Nizak, and it's never on the Mazik. Okay, the Gemara says, Tashma, Ma bein Tam l'muad, Shahatam, Mishalim Chatzi Nezak Migufo, Umuad Mishalim Nezak Shalim Eno Aliyah, the Gemara says that this is kind of like ABCs in Masechet Bava Kama. When the Mishnah Bava Kama talks about the differences between a Shor Tam and a Shor Mu'ad, so there's one very, very basic fundamental distinction, which is that when it comes to a Shor Tam, as we've already pointed out, you only pay Chatzi Nezek, but there's another limitation also on the Shor Tam. Let's say the Shor, your ox is a Shor Tam, and Gordon killed another ox, but your ox is worth significantly less than the ox that it killed. Your ox is only worth $300, and it killed a $10,000 ox. So the Gemara says that in that case, you only pay what's called migufo. There's a special halacha that not only do you only have to pay half the value of the damages by a Shor Tam, but a value that you pay is what's called migufo, which means that it's capped at the value of your ox. So in that case, if your ox is only worth $300 and the ox that it kills is worth $10,000, you only pay at most $300. That's the most that you're going to pay. In contrast, when it comes to a Shor Hamuad, so you pay obviously the full value, as you pointed out, but you also pay min ha'aliyah from your own property, meaning to say it's not capped at anything. There's no limitation to how much you would have to pay for a Shor Hamuad. And yet, when the Mishnah in Bava Kama lists the differences between a Shor Tam and a Shor Hamuad, it does not mention this distinction that we've been talking about in our Gemara, that if I admit to the fact that my ox Gordon killed, that when it comes to a Shor Tam, that I don't have to pay, but by a Shor Hamuad I do. So the fact that the Mishnah in Bava Kama omits that distinction, doesn't that seem to undermine the Gemara's theory? So the Gemara says, no, Tana V'Shayer. Gemara has the famous answer, which we've seen many, many times throughout Shas already, which is Tana V'Shayer. Tana V'Shayer basically just means that the Tana left it off of the list in the Mishnah. But just because it doesn't appear in the Mishnah, it doesn't mean that the distinction is not true. So the follow-up question, which Gemara always asks, is Mai Shayer Dehai Shayer, which basically means, well, what else was omitted from that Mishnah in Bava Kama to justify leaving this distinction about admitting that your ox Gordon killed? What justifies leaving this off the Mishnah? Because basically the idea is that the Tana would never leave one thing off of a list. It doesn't make sense. The Tana would give you every distinction except for one. Doesn't make any sense. But if you can show that the Tana left off multiple things on the list, okay, then you could already argue that the list perhaps is not exhaustive. So the Gemara says, what else was omitted from the list to justify leaving this case of admitting that your ox Gordon killed off the list? So the Gemara says, Shayer Chatzi Kofer, the case of Chatzi Kofer. What's Chatzi Kofer? So Kofer is the idea that if my Shor Hamuad gores and kills a person, so part of the damages that you pay to the Yorshim is called Kofer. Kofer is literally a redemption of your soul. You have to pay for the value of your life, because technically speaking, the Torah seems to say that when your Shor Hamuad kills a person, you are actually Chayav Misa, because you should have kept your ox in check. So the Torah gives you an out by paying Kofer. Kofer is a payment where you basically redeem yourself. So the Gemara says that, well, what about when it comes to a Shor Tam? If a Shor Tam killed someone, so there is no idea, says the Gemara, of Chatzi Kofer. So the fact that the Mishnah in Bava Kama omitted that distinction between paying Kofer by a Shor Mu'ad and not paying Chatzi Kofer for a Shor Tam is going to justify why this other case was omitted from the Mishnah, namely the fact that when I admit to the damages that I only pay by a Shor Mu'ad and not by a Shor Tam. So the Gemara says, that's not a good answer. Imishim Chatzi Kofer Lav Shiurahu Hamani Rabbi Yosi HaGalili Hi Da'amar Tam Mishalim Chatzi Kofer. The fact that Chatzi Kofer was omitted is not a good proof, because that Mishnah in Bava Kama happens to reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yosi HaGalili, and Rabbi Yosi HaGalili happens to actually buy into the idea of Chatzi Kofer. So the fact that it was omitted from the Mishnah is not a proof to anything, because the reason why it was omitted is because it's reflecting Rabbi Yosi HaGalili, who actually does, in fact, believe in the idea of Chatzi Kofer. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tashma, Hamas shori as ploni o shoru shaploni hareza mishalim al piatmo. My lot the sum, lo bin muad. So again, above a comma, right, the Mishnah says if a person admits that his ox Gordon killed a person or Gordon killed another person's ox, so the Gemara says you have to pay based on your own admission. So the Gemara says, aren't we talking about a short time? And doesn't that prove that when you admit that you're a short time Gordon killed, that you have to pay? So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a short muad. Avo bisamai, eno mishalim al piatmo. So the obvious implication is that if you only admitted that you're short time Gordon killed, that you would not have to pay. But the problem is, Avdo Sani Seifa, Avdo Shalploni, Ena Mishalim Al Piatzmo, Niflug Vinisne Bedida, Bamed Dvar Mamurim Bemuad, Avotam Ena Mishalim Al Piatzmo. If that's the case, that we're talking about a scenario where by the short time, when you admit that you're a short time Gordon killed, that you do not pay based on your own admission, so why then did the latter part of that Mishnah say that when you admit that your ox Gordon killed Ruvain's Eved, that you do not pay based on your own admission, because that 30 shekel for the Eved is basically a kanas? Why didn't the Gemara just make this distinction, or the Mishnah make the distinction within the Mishnah itself? In other words, the Mishnah should have said that all of these halachos are only true when it comes to a shor muad, but not by a shor tam. The Mishnah never spelled this distinction out, which implies that it's actually not correct. So the Gemara says, no, kula b'muad kamayre. The entire Mishnah above a comma was talking about a shor muad, so the reason why it doesn't distinguish is because all of these scenarios in the Mishnah are only referring to a shor hamuad. Okay, the Gemara says, tashma, zeh haklal, kol ha-mishalim yeser ha-mashahizik eno mishalim al piatmo, ha-pachos mi-mashahizik. So the Mishnah told us that only when the damages, in other words, only when the penalties exceed the value of the damage, do we say that when that admission is going to exempt you. Again, that's the rule of modeh b'kanas patur. When you admit to a penalty, something above and beyond what you really owe, that you're exempt. The implication is that if it's less than what you damage, in other words, if the what you're paying is less than the damages, namely, let's say by a short time where you're only paying half, it sounds like you are going to pay based on your own admission. So doesn't that prove that when you admit by a short time, you do have to pay? So the Gemara says no. Lo tema Hapachos mimasha hizik, eleima hakimasha hizik mishalim al piatzmo. Avapachos mai, ena mishalim al piatzmo. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. All the Mishnah meant to say was that when you admit to owing exactly the amount of damage that you inflicted, then you pay based on your own admission. But if by your admission you're going to either pay more or less, like in the case of a short time, then you don't pay at all based on your own admission. So the Gemara then asks, listne zehaklal kol sheena mishalim kimasha hizik, ena mishalim al piatzmo, demash vapachos mimash meyeser. The Gemara says, but if that's true, that even admitting to owing less, like by a short time, will also exempt you, so then the Mishnah should have used a more accurate expression. The Mishnah should have said that a person who admits to exactly the damage they inflicted, then they have to pay, which would have implied that if they admit to more or less, then they're exempt. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Tiyufta, Vehilchasa, Palganiska Kanasa. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's a refutation to that position, and therefore, we assume that Chatzin Ezek is only Mamud. Then the Gemara in the very next line turns around and says, but we paskin that Chatzin Ezek is actually a Kanas. So the Gemara then asks, what do you mean? Tiyufta v'hilchasa? How can you refute something and then turn around in the next sentence and say that that's how we paskin? So the Gemara says, in Taiva ma'ito sa'ad, mishum delaka tonik kamashi hizik, lapsikale, kevan di'ika Chatzin Ezek tsroros d'hilchasa gemirila d'mamonahu, mishum hachi lo katane. The Gemara says, no. It was really just a textual refutation. In other words, the fact that the Mishnah uses this very misleading expression that if your admission will lead to paying more, and the inference was, well, if it leads to less, then you should pay, that's not accurate. In other words, the reason why the Mishnah chose to use that expression was just to the exclusion of another machlokas, which appears above a comma, regarding what's called chatzi nezek tsroros. Chatzi nezek tsroros is a very unique case of chatzi nezek. Tsroros means, let's say I have an animal that's walking, and as it's walking, these little pebbles, you know, they shoot out from under its leg, and it ricochets, and it breaks your vase, your window, whatever. So that's called tsroros. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a machlokas again, why you're paying chatzi nezek for that? Why not pay full? Why not pay nothing? So the Gemara says that it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that chatzi nezek tsroros is considered mamon as opposed to kanas. So it could very well be that the reason why our Mishnah uses this misleading language, that when your admission leads to a higher valuation, a higher payment that you don't pay, implying that if it's the same or less that you do, was only to exclude the case of chatzi nezek tsroros, to point out that maybe we think that chatzi nezek tsroros is actually a kanas. That's the reason why the Mishnah didn't formulate it that way, but it doesn't necessarily mean that in general we think that chatzi nezek is not a kanas. So in other words, that formulation in the Mishnah was more of a textual refutation as opposed to a conceptual. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'hashtu d'amar palga nizka kanasa, haikalva d'achal imri v'shunra d'achal tarnagole ravur v'mishunahu, v'la magvinan b'vavel, aval zutre orchehu magvinan, v'itafas l'mafkina minei, v'i'amar ikv'u li zimna l'eretz Yisrael makvi'inan lei, v'i'la azal misham sinan lei. So the Gemara says like this. So now now that we've established a chatzi nezek is a kenas, there are certain ramifications that come along with that statement. So for example, let's say I have a dog and my dog eats a lamb, or I have a cat and the cat eats a very large chicken. So that's considered to be mishuna. That's considered to be abnormal. So in other words, the fact that I would require you to pay for those damages is only a kenas. It's not mamon, because mamon is only something that you would otherwise anticipate. So the fact is that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that in Bavel, because the people there did not have what we call colloquially smicha from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, so kenas can only be implemented by a person who has smicha from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and only the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael had that. So that means if these types of very strange damages where your dog ate a lamb or your cat ate a large chicken happened in Bavel, then you would not be allowed to actually implement or administer the payment of that kenas. However, if it was a normal damage, let's say your cat ate a smaller chicken that was normal, so then you would be able to administer that payment even in Bavel. And then the Gemara says, let's say even in Bavel, let's say the owner of the large chicken comes to the owner of the cat and grabs the money, grabs the value of the large chicken, so then we would not take the money away from the owner of the large chicken, because there he really deserves the money. It's just that we can't actually enforce it. However, and the Gemara has one other caveat. Let's say the owner of the large chicken said, I'm going to set a court date for us to go to Eretz Yisrael to have this case adjudicated where there are rabbanim who have smicha. So then if the guy refuses to go, then we put him at the cheirem, because again, the assumption is that he has to go to get the case adjudicated there. And then finally, the Gemara points out, Beinkach uvenkach misham sinan leh, da'amrinan leh solika zekach, midi Rab Nassan, desanya Rabbi Nassan omer, minayin shelo yigdal adam kelev rabbesoch peso, velo yamit sulam re'uah besoch peso, shene emar velo sasim damim beveisacha. The Gemara points out, either way, you have to excommunicate this person if he keeps around his rabid dog or cat in his house, because there's a general halacha that you're not allowed to have things that are dangerous that are going to lead to people getting killed in your house. Whether, again, this is part of the reason why we have a halacha of makeh, right? Why you have to put up a fence around your roof. And this is just kind of a general idea that you can't have things that are going to cause damage or harm to other people. So if the guy refuses to get rid of his rabid dog or cat, we're also going to excommunicate him for that reason. Okay. Hajar alach elu nairos. Okay.
Rabbi, at what point does the person have to admit to somebody?
That's an excellent question. That's going to be the topic of this Mishnah in the next parak and kind of the next few days. We're going to talk a lot about that. That's a very good question. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Nair shenispatita boshta ufegama ukenasa shel havia vehatzar bitfusa. Says the Mishnah, a girl gets seduced, so the boshes, pegam, and kenas go to the father, and if she's raped, there's an additional payment for tzar, for the pain that was inflicted that goes to the father. Amda bedin ad shelo meisaav harehin shalav, meisaav harehin shalachin, lo hispika lamud bedin ad shemeisaav. So this is exactly what Billy was just asking before, which is basically, in other words, when do all these standards apply? So let's say the girl comes to Beis Din before the father dies, so then... And then Beis Din paskins that she gets, you know, she's entitled to all of this money for boshes, pegam, you know, etc., all these things. And then the father died after the Gemar Din, then everything goes to the father, and then presumably will be inherited by the brothers. If, let's say, the father died prior to the Gemar Din, so then the money goes to the brothers. And let's say the girl didn't even come to Beis Din at all, and the father died, then she gets all the money herself. Similarly, the Mishnah says, Amda bedin achelo bagra harehin shalav, meisaav harehin shalachin, lo hispika lamod bedin achelo bagra harehin shalach. So the same standards basically apply regarding when the girl becomes a bogera. So let's say at the time that she was raped and the time that she went to Beis Din, she was still laktana, or she was still a nara, and Beis Din paskin that she gets X, Y, and Z, all these different payments, so that goes to the father, even if she became a bogeras after the Gemara Din. If, let's say, the father died, then it goes to the brothers, and if the girl became a bogeras even before she went to Beis Din, so then she's entitled to all of the penalties herself. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Im lo hispika ligvosat shemesav harehin shal atzma. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says that even if Beis Din paskin that the money now belongs to her, to the father, but they didn't get around to actually collecting those penalties until the father died, then she's entitled to it. Even if it's after the Gemar Din, the money will still go to her, according to Reb Shimon. And then finally, the Mishnah says, "Maisa yodeha umitziyasa afal pisha lagavsa meisav harein shalach." And when it comes to the girl's wages or any items, any lost items that she finds, any mitzios that she finds and keeps, even though they haven't been collected yet, if the father dies, those things, her wages and anything that she finds, goes to the brothers as opposed to her. And again, we'll talk a lot about in the next few days exactly why that distinction is true.